evening, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Also, the headquarters of our Zionist occupation government. But thank God we do have American Free Press here in Washington. One free voice. A free voice akin to our own daily RBN, which brings you the news and information that you need. Sometimes it's uncomfortable news and information, but you can handle the truth. Well, it's Tuesday, June 26th. We're pushing forward into this very hot summer. It was a very hot day here in Washington, D.C., and, you know, I got hotter by the minute as I flipped through the papers today, seeing little items that just kind of caused me to pause. And, you know, as I always say, I really shouldn't read the paper over lunch and dinner because it does tend to give me indigestion because there's so much in the news that calls for commentary. Where do I start, folks? You know, I've always had mixed feelings about capital punishment. Not from a particularly religious standpoint. Some people are vehemently against capital punishment because they are religious and are against it for religious reasons. And you know what? There are also people who are very much in favor of capital punishment for religious reasons. So, you know, you can find religion, I'm afraid to say, to justify just about any political point of view. But as I say, I've always had mixed feelings about capital punishment, and that may come from my attitude towards government in general. I just kind of often wonder if government really has the right to kill. But I'll tell you what causes me to comment on this. In Oklahoma, there is a man on death row. His name is Jimmy Bland. He's 49 years old. He shot a fellow in the back of the head in 1996, and now this guy, Jimmy Bland, is dying of cancer. Now, this guy is dying, and he's going to be dead pretty soon. But, you know, the state of Oklahoma is still determined to put him to death. I don't know. It just seems to me, folks, you know, I don't want to get into a debate on capital punishment because, you know why? I don't have really many strong opinions on it one way or the other because, like I said, I go back and forth on it, but it just seems to me somewhat grotesque that they're not just going to let this man go ahead and die. I don't know. I mean, if you have any comments on it or thoughts on it, you're welcome to call in. I'm just throwing that out there. I just saw it. Another thing I saw, it turns out there's a new advertising campaign on for Barack Obama, and they quote a testimonial from one of Obama's teachers at Harvard Law School, and they say Mr. Obama could have written his ticket on Wall Street, but he chose to work with church groups as an organizer. They quote Lawrence Tribe, Professor Lawrence Tribe, as saying it was inspiring, absolutely inspiring. Well, you know, folks, I had a good friend in college, still a very good friend of mine, and in those days he was a would-be politician. He went into the financial world, and now he's rolling in money. But you know, in college, when he wanted to be a politician, he became a big brother with the Big Brother program, kind of fostering and mentoring a black kid here in the District of Columbia. You know why he said he did it, though, folks? He said he did it because it would look good on his resume when he ran for public office. Well, I thought that was pretty, what's the word? I don't know. I always remind him about it and say what a politician he was and what a politician he would have been. So maybe I'm a cynic, folks, like our regular caller Jim from Texas, but I just can't help but think that maybe Barack Obama, when he was out there working with church groups, maybe he had the same thing in mind. Maybe I'm a cynic. I don't know, folks. Well, we're going to a break here. When we come back, a little bit more commentary and, well, the latest on the missing Christopher Boland.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. You know something, folks? I hope I don't offend anybody out there. But you know what? I'm really getting tired of hearing about Anne Frank. You know who I'm talking about, Anne Frank of diary fame. We know a big argument can be made that the diary that we know today was really not written, at least certainly not in its entirety, by Anne Frank. But I don't want to get into that. I just noticed something in the New York Times arts section today. It says, commemorating the 60th anniversary of the first publication of Anne Frank's Diary of a Young Girl, a cousin donated thousands of letters, photographs, and documents to the Anne Frank House. Although the archive has little new information about the months that the Frank family were in hiding, blah, 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 they say its value lies in illuminating the family's cultured background in Germany and the wellsprings of Frank's talent for writing. Wow. Okay, they quote a cousin, Bernard Elias, who says they spoke four languages. They were interested in art. Or they were interested in art and theater. When they went to a concert or play, they wrote about it. That's all in these letters. So what? I mean, seriously, folks, you know, I went to an auction in central Pennsylvania some years ago of the personal belongings in part of an elderly lady who lived there in the middle of nowhere in central Pennsylvania back in the 1890s, the early 1900s. And, you know, one of the things they auctioned was a whole set of theater programs from New York's cultural elite theaters of Broadway and the period before that. Here was this little old lady. She wasn't a little old lady then, but young lady from central Pennsylvania, not particularly rich, but, you know, she used to travel to New York regularly to these big plays up there, and she'd bring back the programs, and she kept them in a scrapbook, you know. Okay, well, you know, she might not have died during World War II, but, you know, she was cultured, too. And, you know, I have a friend here in Washington, D.C., he's a middle-aged black man, and, you know, he has in his family's library a similar collection of old theater scrapbooks from his aunt, a black woman here in Washington, D.C., who during the 1920s and the 1930s used to travel back and forth to New York to go to all the plays. But no one's ever going to commemorate how cultured they were. But Anne Frank, good Lord, I mean, the fact that the family liked the theater, now that's international news. I mean, you know, on and on and on. And you know what's very interesting about the Anne Frank diaries? There's a lot of people today, and when I say people, I mean Jewish people today, who complain that Anne Frank was not Jewish enough. They say that her diaries didn't reflect her interest in Judaism. In other words, they were saying she wasn't interested enough in her Jewish heritage and that she wanted to be too German. Isn't that interesting, folks? Well, okay, it was a wonderful thing that the Franks, the Frank family, that they were very cultured and spoke all these languages, but guess what? There are millions of other people around the world who like to go to the theater. There are millions of other people who are interested in art, but we have this constantly shoved down our throats. I'm sorry if I offend anybody for saying that, but, you know, it's just the thought that comes to mind. You know, it's just more of the same. Well, I received a very interesting letter in the mail today, folks, from someone who I've actually known for about 20 years. And evidently, he was a listener to this program until recent date. But he was particularly upset because I said that Jerry Falwell had died and gone to hell. Well, he said he doesn't listen to this program anymore, but I just dropped him a note today and said that I was going to read his letter on the air, which I'm going to do. So here's what he says. You have gloated at the death of Dr. Jerry Falwell and consigned him to hell. I probably disagreed with him about 85% of the time. However, I still saw him as a man of God, though very much misguided by others. Our going to heaven is not based on our being right on all points of theology or politics. And then he quotes the Bible. He says, I also agree with you about 85% of the time, but I have a lot more confidence in his salvation, that's Jerry Falwell's, than I do yours. I do not view you as a born-again Christian. You might want to discuss this with Mark Dankoff or Tex Mars. I'll have to talk to Tex and Mark about that. He says, however, this is a matter of opinion, and you have as much right to yours as I have to mine. I listen to RBN all day long, and that excludes you. That is, with the exception of Ken Ludwig, who is a wolf, Buddhist in sheep's, quote-unquote, Christian clothing. He goes on to say, my second gripe is more serious and has caused me to stop listening to you. That is your constant use of gutter language. Jerry Falwell-type Christians who need to hear the truth will not listen to you because of it. My wife and I, who know the truth, are very offended by it as Christians. Also, Christian parents will not want their children to listen to you. So from now on, RBN goes off after Robbie Noel, and he signs Yours for Christ, and then he gives his name. Well, I will just say this much, folks. If I ever use gutter language, I would apologize for it. I occasionally do say hell and damn, just as I'm saying hell and damn now, but I wouldn't quite say that's gutter language. But if any time my language does offend you, I apologize for that. But I, as I say, I think this gentleman has a deeper concern, and that is the fact that I said something nasty about Jerry Falwell. You know, it's kind of interesting. This particular gentleman I became acquainted with back in the days when Liberty Lobby was setting up the Populist Party. And this was a good gentleman, a real good organizer. But, you know, I remember at the time thinking that maybe he didn't get the big picture because he was trying to get one of Jerry Falwell's chief henchmen to get involved in organizing the Populist Party. And I guarantee you that none of Jerry Falwell's henchmen would want to have anything in any way, shape, or form to do with organizing a political party that in its foreign policy platform took on America's all-out support for Israel. So I guess what I'm saying, folks, is that I continue to be amazed by the number of people who still hang on to the myth, to the legend of Jerry Falwell. It's just like I wrote in my article in American Free Press about Jerry Falwell's death, and just as I said on this program, there are so many people who were so willing to give Jerry Falwell a pass, despite the fact that he was leading lots of good American Christians right into the corral that was set up by the Zionists for American Christians, a corral that they put Jerry Falwell in charge of tending. So I have no apologies for having consigned, in my own mind, Jerry Falwell to hell, because as I said in my letter back to this gentleman, I'm confident that's exactly where Jerry Falwell is. And I would add for the record here, it's where I believe Jerry Falwell deserved to go. Because Jerry Falwell was a poison in American life. And despite whatever you might think about some of the quote-unquote good things that Jerry Falwell did, in the bigger picture, he is largely responsible for the very hellish position that I think the United States finds itself in today, precisely because of the fact that Falwell was such an ardent supporter of Israel and introduced that concept of support for Israel into the minds of American Christians during the 1970s, at a time when, in fact, most American Christians were not particularly preoccupied with the State of Israel. In my view, Jerry Falwell worshipped the State of Israel and the Jewish people more so than he worshipped Jesus Christ or the tenets of the Holy Scriptures. Well, now Jerry Falwell may have been born again, and I may not be born again, but as I told this gentleman, I think in my work that I have done over the past 25 years, I have done more to defend the Bible, the true Christian religion, and Christian Americans and their rights and interests and their survival than Jerry Falwell ever did. And that's a pretty tall statement, I understand. But actually, when you stack me up against Jerry Falwell, I think you find that Jerry Falwell, in reality, was an enemy of American Christians. And while I may not profess to be born again and may not be able to quote the Bible, I think that my work does speak for itself and stands on its own and has contributed far more to the survival of Christianity than anything that Jerry Falwell ever did. I didn't intend to go into a rant like that, ladies and gentlemen, but, you know, sometimes you have to say what has to be said. And, you know, as I say, I don't have anywhere near the fame or the power or influence or, dare I say, respect that Jerry Falwell had. But I don't think Jerry Falwell did much for America or for the Christian religion except contribute to the demise of both. And having said that, I will just say, good riddance, Jerry Falwell. All right, we are going to a break here momentarily, folks. When we come back, I am going to comment on this bizarre situation surrounding the, what shall we call it, the disappearance of Christopher Boleyn. The last we know, he did not show up for his sentencing date in court yesterday. And I think that really says something about what was really going on in the Boleyn case. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Collins Piper here.
Hey, Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. I was going to comment on the Christopher Boleyn affair, but, you know, that story has yet to be resolved. It could be a long, long time before we ever know what really happened. But in the meantime, we've got quite a few callers here, and what the callers have to say is far more important than anything I would have to say about Kingster Boleyn. So let's go right to the callers. We have Mike in New York. Mike, come on up.
Shalom.
Shalom.
You know, I have a confirmation from Rabbi Weiss from New Jakarta, also known as Kosher Nostra. Jerry Falwell is in hell.
Okay.
Because Rabbi Weiss called hell and confirmed that Jerry Falwell is in hell.
Okay.
Okay, and one more thing regarding to Anne Frank diary. The Jews should write a book about Salomon Morel, who was a guard after World War II in Poland, because Poland asked to give Salomon Morel to the justice in Poland. He was a guard in a concentration camp, and he was killing babies by bashing their heads over the concrete walls. He forced women and children to work in a sub-zero condition, walk outside, and he starved inmates to death. He made inmates eat a human feces. So They should write a book about it, not about the garbage, about Anne Frank diary.
I remember that story about Solomon Morrell. If I recall correctly, there was an attempt to extradite him, what, from Israel?
Yes,
to
yes.
Poland, and the Israeli government would not extradite him to stand trial for war crimes.
Yeah, I just read the book on Saturday in front of the synagogue in Brooklyn here, and I read the story. The Jews couldn't believe it. I said, look at him. And they Israel didn't give him to justice in Poland. They keep him in Israel. But he killed many, many people, you know.
That's right. You know, in fact, I'll tell you, an old friend of mine who I've mentioned him on this show, he was aware of many former Soviet concentration camp guards and Soviet Red Army commissars who killed many, many people in Eastern Europe during World War II. They were allowed into this country. Many of them were Jewish, many were not, but they were allowed into this country, and no one ever questioned their right to enter this country. So
yes,
this is one of those things that comes back that you find all these double standards.
Yes, because they are God-chosen people, but the God is Lucifer, Satan.
Well, this is the thing we've talked about here on this program, you know, that a lot of people have a very profound misunderstanding of many of these things that that we talk about in terms of religion. And unfortunately, as I say, people like Jerry Falwell played a major part in contributing to the confusion. You know, we had a caller here last night, one of our good callers, Bob from Texas, who made an interesting comment that he said sometimes this program, my program, I think he said it gets more and more complex or more and more complicated. But, you know, Mike, the fact is that we do live in a very complex world, and things are not always black and white. You know, not everything is not always as it seems. And I think that example you gave about, what was his name, Solomon Morrell?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting case, and I'm glad you reminded me about that. I'm going to have to do some more research on that.
Many, many things. That, you know, Mike, I listen every night, not being... Sometimes Rick Adams, but Rick Adams now
mm-hmm.
some kind of liberal or something. And Bob from Texas sometimes is making a good point, but sometimes is completely out of the line. I don't know. I follow the news in Europe. I speak four languages.
Uh-oh, you speak four languages,
yeah,
just like the
Frank
family.
And I follow the news. I know what the Jews are doing in Europe. All over Europe, in Scandinavia, in Russia, and I know what they did in for 40 or 50, 60 years. It's crime beyond belief.
It's a scary story.
Yeah. Yeah. And one more thing for Jim from Texas and you. I talked to Rabbi Weiss, and he's very disappointed because when you announced your candidacy for World Jewish Congress, the Jews was so excited in Brooklyn. They were dancing Hava Nagila, you know, but you betrayed them. Because you endorse Cynthia McKinney.
Oh. Well, I haven't officially endorsed Cynthia McKinney yet.
You endorse her. I remember you endorse her, and then you lose the presidency.
Well, I tell you what. At least one thing I learned tonight, I know why I lost my candidacy for president of the World Jewish Congress.
Yeah. Okay. Even Jim from Texas, they won't hire him like a spiritual advisor. They won't...
I hope Jim's listening. All right, Mike.
Okay.
We're going to a break here. Appreciate your phone call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Tell Rabbi Weiss I said hello. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper. We are going to a break here. We have a full lineup of callers. When we come back after this break, we will hear what the other callers have to say. And I'll just try not to say too much and let them have their say. Stay tuned.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper here on RBN, Public Broadcasting Network. All right, we got a full lineup of callers here. Go to Indiana with Country Boy. What's going on tonight, Country Boy?
Yeah, I called in to talk about the death penalty, but you kept bringing stuff up, so I got 3 points tonight.
Go ahead.
First of all, Falwell consigned himself to hell. You did not consign him. God does not consign people to hell. People consign themselves to hell by rejecting God's way of salvation that he has provided. This guy that told you that you use gutter language, you should tell him he should be specific, and I think that was just a red herring. But let me tell you about Falwell, if he's so good. There was a big issue here with the unregistered church, okay? And these were people that said that God is the head of the church, not the IRS or the United States government, because of the IRS code 501c3 that makes these so-called churches tax-exempt charities, and they cannot criticize government policy. When the Indianapolis Baptist Temple and Dr. Greg Dixon and other UBF churches were under persecution, that clown, that mad dog Baptist, Falwell, did absolutely nothing.
That's interesting to know that. I remember that travesty, what they did. That was one of the first acts of the Bush administration under that good Christian attorney general, John Ashcroft.
Right.
I remember that.
Supposedly both of them, the president and Ashcroft, born-again Christians.
Yeah.
That name has been so prostituted, the only people that are not, you know, Christian are Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. That's been so watered down. And these other clowns that make it more specific, born-again. Okay, this Falwell character has been very bad. He wanted to build buildings on Liberty Mountain because I can tell you that the doctrine that most of these Baptist churches have are the same, almost the same religiously and theologically as Falwell's was. But he didn't lift a finger because he wanted to get all the tax exemptions. Lay down and let the government do whatever it wants regardless of its effects.
You know, I'm glad. I appreciate you bringing that point up. If I had ever known that, I'd totally forgotten about it. But it's a very good point.
Now, the thing is that this. I picked up a book. I haven't read it, and it was. It's in the Goodwill store for $2. Let me read it to you. The cover. Mark Fuhrman was a firm believer in the death penalty. What he saw in Oklahoma changed his mind. It might change yours. Death and Justice by Mark Fuhrman. And on the inside, it says, an expose of Oklahoma's death row machine. Now, you know, you got a lot of people in Texas and Oklahoma, and out here in the rural area where I'm at in Indiana, hang 'em high mentality, okay?
Right.
But when you start to look at this stuff, the reason is not so much religious, even though I can quote you Genesis 9:6 about the death penalty. The reason in our country is political. The courts or the so-called justice system is the reason why you got to throw out the death penalty in this country.
Well, I would agree with that too, because I've seen firsthand a lot of the so-called justice in this country, and there's no justice to it, and that's why I say, that's why I have mixed feelings about the death penalty. So, point well taken.
Yeah, Fuhrman, you know, detective, former 20-year policeman, it's interesting, and I'm glad I picked up the book for $2. I will read it, but this, you know, just what you said about Oklahoma, from what it said, even on the back it says, for a review, convinces that a criminal justice system can be criminal and lack justice. So that's what I called for originally. Now, one other thing. On our local yokel newspaper, it has an article. It says, county commissioners went on record Monday as being opposed to H.R. 2421, a proposed federal law that will give the Army Corps of Engineers control of all natural lakes, ponds, and streams. Now, I'm going to quote a commissioner. If this passes, the Corps will have control over nearly every drop of water in the United States, close quote. So, you know, it's amazing that out here in this Republican county out here, Red County out in Indiana, that these guys are even protesting something that we don't even know about that's going on.
You know, that's interesting because that you bring that up. It was in your local newspaper, and I pointed this out on the air before, that a lot of times over the years at the Spotlight, and now with American Free Press, we get news clippings in from all over the country about things that are happening in local communities that are of such national significance, and yet, and they're happening all over the country, but only in some areas do people actually take notice of it. And that's a perfect example of that. And you know, it just goes to show you how they are incrementally expanding federal power over every little thing that they can think of, and they place it in the context of conservation. And believe me, I'm all in favor of conservation. Or they place it in the context of national security. Or they always come up, oh, it's for the children. You know, they always have a very, very clever excuse to soft-soap people. But all it comes down to is making the government bigger and more powerful and turning it ever more into a police state.
All right, thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks, country boy. All right, we're going to Colorado. We have Steve in Colorado. Steve, come on up.
How you doing?
How you doing tonight?
Okay, I have a question. I'm not sure if it was your radio show. Do you promote Ron Paul, or you disagree with him as president? Or I don't get your your show too clear where I live in Colorado.
Well, I tell you what, I like Ron Paul. I've liked Ron Paul for many, many years. I have heard very little from him that I would have anything to disagree with. I think he's certainly, in this presidential race, he's certainly the only candidate that I would be inclined to vote for at this time. I guess I haven't endorsed him per se, and he probably wouldn't want my endorsement, but I think he's a good man.
Now, so you think Hillary would be his vice president?
I doubt very much.
Who do you think would run as vice president with him?
What's that?
Who would you recommend as vice president?
Well, if he were nominated, you know, that's an interesting question. If he were nominated for president by the Republican Party, which unfortunately I don't think will happen, that would really open up a can of worms, because I don't know of anybody else in the Republican Party who quite comes up to the par of Ron Paul. So that's a very good question.
Well, in any way, I guess if whoever they put as vice president would probably end up to be the president anyway, because I don't think he'd last too long.
God forbid that should happen. But, yeah, I don't know. As I say, I mean, realistically, I can't see Ron Paul getting the nomination. But, you know, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. I don't think anything is cut and dried in this presidential race quite yet. But we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, the good thing about Ron Paul, win or lose, he's out there saying things that nobody else is saying, and he represents the thinking of a lot of good Americans.
I mean, just the point of him running for president would open up the doors for his ad campaigns, and he can probably just expose the New World Order in a better way than most of us can anyway.
Well, that's right. You know, I mean, he's out there. He has a high profile. The guy's been in Congress since, with the exception of like a 2 or 4 year period, the guy's been in Congress since the mid-1970s, and he's as qualified as anybody else out there running for president. So, you know, God bless him. What can I say?
What branch of service did he live? I mean, I don't listen to the news much, and besides, they're not promoting him in the news anyway.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What branch of service did he serve in?
I don't know. When I said about him serving, I meant him serving in Congress.
Oh, no, I understand.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not even sure he was in the military. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay. I, for some reason, I heard other people say he was in the military, but they never said what branch of service he was in.
You know, I'll have to look into that. I really don't know.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Steve. Thanks for your call.
And if you want, promote him as much as you can, even if you're not.
Oh, absolutely. No. As I say, I mean, you know, I haven't formally endorsed him yet. I mean, but, you know, I think he's a good man, and I'm going to certainly give as much credibility and support to him that I can through this program, because he certainly deserves it.
Have you ever tried having him interviewed in your program?
Well, I've never asked, and I wouldn't put him on the spot and force him to say no, because I can understand why he might not want to come on this program. But
okay.
There's lots of other good people out there who are trying to get him on the air, and I encourage him to keep on doing it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, Steve. All right, let's go to Edward in Ohio.
Hi, I called about one thing, but I don't even know if I'll talk about the death penalty. I'd like to talk about Falwell, but I'd like to make a comment about Ron Paul.
Go ahead.
Regarding a running mate, I was thinking of Voinovich, because Voinovich was just on the news tonight regarding his opposition to George Bush's war in Iraq. And I'm glad to see that, because George Voinovich is one of my state senators.
I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that, and good for him.
Yes, I am glad. It makes me happy, because I did write to him and Sherrod Brown, both senators of my state, and I stated my position regarding my opposition to this war in Iraq. That was just a brief comment. Now, regarding Jerry Falwell, I would like to kind of set the record straight, even though I know you don't like him, but regarding Jerry Falwell, I didn't know about the situation regarding Greg Dixon, but there was a situation that happened before that, and Falwell probably changed. In somewhere around the 1980s, there was a similar situation regarding Everett Sullivan and the, I think it was a Baptist church in Louisville, Nebraska.
Right, I remember that.
Okay, and there was a pastor whose name I don't plan to mention from the Cleveland, Ohio area that took over that, I think the superintendent of schools or pastor or something like that when Everett Sullivan was put in jail, and he dared the people to arrest him. And I understand that they did not arrest him because Jerry Falwell was next in line. And if they arrested him, Jerry Falwell would have stepped in, and that would have brought national publicity to that situation, so they did not arrest that pastor that came from my area of the country.
Okay, well, let's give credit where credit is
yes,
due.
I just thought I'd set the record straight.
No problem with that. Glad you mentioned it.
Right, yeah, I am. I do support Jerry Falwell in some of the things that he was, for. He stood against sodomy, so do I. The Bible's against the perversion of homosexuality. So I agree with Mr. Falwell's position on that. Now, regarding the state that's called Israel, and I keep saying that, the Bible speaks in favor of the children of Israel, except, of course, when they disobeyed God, and you know me. I've had my say on that. And it's there's something going on, and it's semantics. If they can get people to support the state that's called Israel and get them to think that it is the state of Israel and make the connection to the Bible, which Falwell did, that could lead the country astray and get it to support the, if I may, the Antichrist way of Judaism. It can lead this country in the wrong direction. And I think that when we talk about these people who call themselves Jews, and that when they get people to think that they're the Jews of the Bible, that it causes people to think that they're supporting God's chosen people.
Right.
And if I could just recommend two books for people to read, it could change this country's political course. One of them is, of course, the Bible, which contains God's law. The other is The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler.
Right.
And that's about all they called about.
All right. Well, Edward, thank you. I appreciate that call.
And yeah, thanks,
Michael.
I'm
glad you can correct the record there, at least in that one instance of Falwell doing something good there. Incidentally, that book, The 13th Tribe by Arthur Koestler, is available from the Barnes Review. You can go to the website of the Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. or barnesreview.com, and that's B-A-R-N-E-S, Review, Barnes Review. Of course, I write for the Barnes Review on a regular basis. All right, we're getting ready. Well, we have a couple minutes before the break, and we're going to bring up David from Massachusetts. David, come on up.
Hello there. How are you? Good to talk to you. I do want to tell you the first thing, the reception I'm getting up here is extremely bad.
All right, you're listening on shortwave, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay.
And it's very, very bad, but I wanted to, use the first opportunity to tell you that. Okay, the second thing I want to do, I want to make several points. I can see there's good in the death penalty and there's bad. I do believe that in this country where we've had people who have committed horrific crimes, I mean, they're just so terrible, sickening, serial killers, murdered all kinds of people, murdered little children, perverts, things like that. I don't see anything wrong with giving them life imprisonment without parole, but at hard labor. And they should be doing jobs that you and I wouldn't take for $45 an hour.
Okay.
And they should be given that, and I'm trying to be very sincere about it. They should be given the most rotten, filthy, dirty, unsanitary work, so that before they died, we'd get a lot of work out of them. And
yeah, go ahead.
Now, here's another point I want to make out. This has never been discussed that I know of in your program. I did call a talk show months and months ago. It wasn't, of course, Republic. And I tried to get on, and the man immediately shut me off.
He said, okay.
And it was about transfer of organs, the internal organs?
Right.
This is one of the things that is a simmering issue under the table. It is an area fraught with great corruption. We've had people in the undertaking business steal people's body parts and sell them illegally. We've had people sell them from third world countries where they've taken them from people that are, in very, very great poverty, and they're willing to sell their one kidney or and they've taken them from dead bodies that the people are of questionable, you know, health
right.
when they took them. I'm all in favor of either giving a death penalty or life imprisonment without parole at hard labor to anybody who would take someone's body parts and transfer them or sell them illegally. I consider that a high, vicious felony.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it, yeah. Like I say, that this is, you know, when it comes down to it, like you say, regarding, you know, regarding the death penalty, it's you know, the, there are these people who go out and commit these horrendous crimes. Some of these people are just animals. Some of them are just totally nuts. And you know, it's like it's a hard call, no question about it. But I see what you're saying, and something like that. For someone to commit a monstrous, ghoulish crime like that, it is, it's just pure profiteering, and I don't think it's any matter of madness or anything like that. It's just someone who's really inhuman.
Absolutely.
All right, yeah, Dave, we have a break coming up. Hang on there, please.
All right.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour here. We have David from Massachusetts. David, come on back up.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael. What I want to say is about this, years and years ago I read about this happening on this organ transfer where there was one of these clinics in Boston that accepted some donation from a certain person, and this woman, bought the donation for the purpose of procreation of a child, right?
Okay.
And it turned out that the person was infected with at least one incurable disease and several other venereal diseases, because they never checked who the donor was.
Oh, God.
So I am sure that both of these people are dead, the one who donated the infected sperm plus the woman who purchased it. People like this who ran that clinic and did such a thing to a person, I never heard that they were punished. I don't know what happened because the thing dropped out of the press. I don't know what happened. All I want to say is this, that people who do things like that to people should be punished to the very last day of their life. There should never be any forgiveness for them, and they should be sued to the bottom of their feet, and they should either get a death sentence or life imprisonment without parole, and there just is too much leeway that they've been giving people who, just because they run some kind of a medical clinic, they think they can get away with anything.
I agree with you, Dave. It's one of those things that, the argument can be made that the best thing to do with a lot of these serial killers and rapists and child molesters is just put them to death and be done with them, you know. Then you find people who commit. It's a tough call, but I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with it. So it's one of those things that, there's so many of these issues that really are so hard to come down one way or the other, and then there are, you can find different degrees, and but needless to say, there are so many people who take, rock solid positions one way or the other, and sometimes, as I say, I don't think it's exactly black and white. So I appreciate your input on that.
All right.
All right, listen, thanks, Dave. Appreciate that.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, we are wrapping up the hour here, and we have a few callers left that we just can't bring aboard, but, we will be here tomorrow night, so feel free to call in. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more good programming right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can handle the truth. That's why you're listening. Have a good evening.
A message for